White stars form almost a complete circle around the peak of a mountain. Paramount, a Viacom company. A clock in the shape of a panda bear reads 12 o'clock. Paramount Pictures presents... The eyes of the clock move back and forth. Johnny Depp. Christopher Walken. Metal gears are turning. Nick of Time. The cylinder of a gun is shown. Charles S. Dutton. Peter Strauss. Roma Mafia. Gloria Rubin. More metal gears are turning. And Marsha Mason. G.D. Spradlin, Courtney Chase. Bill Smitrovich, Yul Vasquez. Casting by Carol Lewis, CSA. Music composed by Arthur B. Rubinstein. A bullet cartridge slides into a chamber of the gun. Costume designer Mary E. Vogt. Film edited by Frank Morris and Kevin Stitt. The hammer and trigger of the gun move back, and the hammer is released. Production designer Philip Harrison. Director of Photography, Roy H. Wagner, ASC. Executive Producer, DJ Caruso. Written by Patrick Sheen Duncan. The configuration of gears is working behind a large clock that reads 12 o'clock. Produced and directed by John Badham. The large clock is on the clock tower of a white building. Amtrak train moves into a station.
Los Angeles is next. Los Angeles is next.
On the train, a man is seated next to a little girl with long brown hair. The man checks his watch as the girl looks out the window. He leans over to her and gently blows on her cheek. She kisses him. Out the window, she watches people washing their clothes in water near a bridge. Under the bridge, one homeless man chases another, then hits him with a piece of wood. The man falls and is tackled by the other homeless man. Inside the train station, a woman and a man with a mustache climb a set of stairs to a balcony overlooking the station. They both check their watches.
Keep your eyes peeled. Sharp.
Below, two young men are riding inline skates. A security guard walks into the station. The skateboarders are weaving around passengers.
Hey, what the hell are you doing? You know you can't skate in here. Get your butt. Hey, this is good. Where you at? Hey, I ain't gonna take no shit. What the hell are you doing in here?
On the balcony, the woman points to a couple walking through the station.
That one.
Tyson's wife.
Oh, man, I hate rollerbladers. Skateboarders, I don't mind, even though they dress like idiots. But when I see some pinhead on rollerblades, it really gives me the urge to grease the front of my car with him.
Keep your eyes peeled.
The clock reads 8 minutes past 12. Outside, a conductor lowers the stairs on the train. The young girl gets off the train carrying a teddy bear. To an elderly couple.
What about them? Right there.
Too old.
Oh. Them?
You ever had an idea to die of malnutrition? Leave it to me. I know people. It's my job. People personal.
What are you looking for?
May I have your attention?
He spots a young couple in an embrace.
I'm looking for them right there. You see? Right there.
They walk down the stairs.
Honey, I gotta make a phone call. You see a phone anywhere?
Inside the train station, Lynn stares at the young couple kissing.
Hey, come on, you. Didn't you ever see anybody kiss like that before?
On TV.
You never saw your mom and me kiss like that?
Hey, he kneels in front of her.
Listen to me. It's all right to talk about it. You know that, don't you?
She nods.
All right. Well, tell me something. You never once saw your mom and me kiss like that?
No way.
Not once? How'd you see us kiss?
She kisses her hand.
That's it? That one, that little peck of a kiss? Honey, you missed a whole lot of kisses. Come here.
He pulls her to him and hugs her. She kisses his cheek. He looks at the clock and it reads 10 past 12.
Oh, God, honey. Daddy's late. We gotta go.
The man with the mustache is walking toward the young couple.
Look at him. Do anything for her.
Young Walt. Hello, mon bel amour. Est-ce que tu peux parler pour la soirée?
Voilà ce que je te propose. Ce qu'on peut faire, c'est aller à un restaurant à côté de la plage.
The man and woman turn away.
Damn it, foreigners.
Frogs. They copy our blue jeans, but when we need their help in Kuwait, where are they?
The man with the mustache sees Lynn's father at a payphone.
Look at that.
Hi, Mr. Connors. Oh. It's Gene Watson calling. Oh, my train just got
teddy
here.
Bear, huh?
Hey,
come on. Oh.
Hey, honey, come here. Oh. Come here, sweetheart. You stay away from me.
A rollerblader tried to take Lynn's bear.
Come here.
Gene pulls Lynn closer to him.
Sorry about this.
I want the teddy.
Stay closer. It's this guy's on roller skates. Look, my train just got in. I'm running a little bit late, but I'll get there as soon as I can, all right?
Yo,
thank
punk.
You very much, sir. Hey, get out of here, will you? Leave her alone. All right, bye. You ready, sweets?
The man skates toward them.
Yeah!
Let's go. Oops.
Let's see.
Gene knocks over a trash can and the rollerbladers fall.
That's why you should always wear a helmet and knee pads, because you never know when you're going to fall down and go boom. Right?
Right.
Come on. Get out of here.
Somebody.
Watch your step. Come on.
Perfect.
The man and woman approach Gene and Lynn. The man holds up a badge.
Can I see some identification, sir?
Excuse me?
ID. Can we see some?
Sure. Sure. Is the driver's license all right?
Be fine.
What's the problem? Oh, it's about those guys there. You know, they were circling my little girl.
From Santa Maria,
Mr. Watson. Yes, I am.
Where's that?
It's north near Lompoc. Why?
Come with us, sir.
The woman picks up Lynn.
I'd like to know what's going on.
Just cause a ruckus, sir. Not with a little girl now.
Ma'am, I'll take my daughter.
Don't worry. Father's good with kids.
The woman grabs a coloring book.
You stole that.
No, I didn't. I confiscated it. There's a difference.
No, there's not.
I'd like to know what's going on, officer.
Explain.
When they walk outside, Lynn drops her teddy bear and Gene picks it up.
So what's going on?
They walk to a gray van.
Front seat. Into the van, Mr. Watson, thank you.
Lynn and the woman climb into the back seat.
Let's get your seatbelt on. I always want to wear your seatbelt, huh? Right?
I won't be, Dad.
Well, your daddy's right there.
Daddy's
see?
Right here, honey. Daddy's here.
We're your daddy's friend.
That's right. Policeman's your friend. Isn't that right, Daddy? Daddy?
That's right, honey. Police are our friends.
Hey, would you look at this?
Listen, officer.
Everybody,
I have an appointment that I'm late for. I'd really like to know what's going on.
This is the Jack. Say, hi, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
And this goes in this little hole right there.
Let me do it.
Go ahead.
Lynn is wearing headphones.
Wow. Let's get down to business.
He locks the van doors.
Who are you people?
Pay attention. Mr. Watson, pay attention.
He takes out a pistol.
And your daughter won't be hurt.
All right, honey, come to Daddy.
He reaches for Lynn. The man hits him in the knee with the gun.
Mr. Watson, you're not paying attention. Your daughter's life depends on you. Do you understand?
He hits him again.
You understand that?
Yes.
Good. This is for you.
He takes out an envelope.
In it, there's a picture of a woman and an itinerary. It's her itinerary. She is presently... You listening, Mr. Watson?
Yes.
She is presently at the Bonaventure Hotel. It's not far from here. When you leave this van, you get yourself a taxi over there, and you will take it to the Bonaventure Hotel. Then...
He passes the envelope to the woman.
You will take this, and you will kill the woman whose picture's in there. Not just shoot her, but you'll kill her. I recommend you empty the gun into her, close up. You got all that?
The woman made an ID badge with Jean's name on it and puts it in the envelope.
You're out of your mind.
What's your point?
I will do no such thing.
Yes, you will, Mr. Watson.
Don't worry. We'll take good care of the kid.
The woman's eating a carrot.
It's now 12:16. If the woman in the picture's alive at 1:30, half past one, I call my partner. Your daughter's dead.
He picks up a walkie-talkie.
What happens if I don't call you?
Kill her anyway.
You hear that, Mr. Watson?
The van's clock turns to 12:17.
Do you understand? It's the woman in the picture, or your daughter.
My God.
God can't help her, Mr. Watson. Only you can help her.
Only you.
The man wraps the gun in a cloth.
You're wasting time.
He holds the gun out to Jean. Jean looks back at his daughter. Then takes the gun.
Let's go.
Honey.
Lynn takes off the headphones.
Daddy has to go somewhere. I'll be back soon. Okay?
She nods.
Stay with the nice lady.
Move it.
Jean and the man get out of the van.
Ow.
Jean clutches his knee.
Let's test this thing. You on?
Read you.
You'll need some cash.
Car's right over there.
Here you go.
He puts money in Jean's suit jacket.
I'll hang on to the wallet, time being. Need these.
He gives Jean a handful of bullets.
Cabs are that way. Get moving, Mr. Watson. Time's a waste. Let's do it.
He pats Jean on the shoulder and checks his watch. Jean limps toward the cabs. Inside the van.
Where's my daddy going?
Your daddy's gonna help the police. He's gonna be a hero.
Like Power Rangers?
Yeah. Just like Power Rangers.
She pats Lynn on the head. As Jean heads down the street, he looks at the bullets in his hand, stops, and starts back toward the van. He looks around, but the van is gone. He stands on the sidewalk for a moment, then starts walking again. A little girl with long dark hair runs into him. He stops her and looks into her face. He pats her on the head and she runs back to her mother. Jean looks ahead of him, sees a police officer, and starts to walk toward him.
How
officer. The man with the mustache is standing behind the officer.
You talk to a cop, you even look at a cop too long, and your daughter's dead. Get over there. Just do it.
Go ahead, sugar pie.
Lynn, come on, Daddy.
Lynn.
I can hear you good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, honey. Where are you? You okay? Are you okay?
Okay, that's enough. Daddy has to go now.
He has to stay over now. Daddy, you have to stay over now.
Over and out.
Look at your watch. Look at it. At 1:30, your little girl is dead. Say it with me. At 1:30, my little girl is dead. Say it! Say it! Name it!
1:30, my little girl is dead.
Unless you do what you're told, you go do it.
He pushes Gene forward, and Gene walks away.
Don't forget, I'll be watching you.
Gene walks toward a cab and puts the gun in his pocket.
Excuse me. I need to get to the Bonaventure Hotel.
Bonaventure?
Yeah, you know where that is?
Yeah. See it from here.
Gene gets in the cab. His knee as the cab pulls away.
Amtrak?
Huh?
Coming on Amtrak?
Oh, yeah.
Business or pleasure?
Business.
So where'd you come in from?
What?
Where you come in from?
San Diego.
Ah, San Diego.
San Diego.
I have thought about moving out of San Diego. It's hard to make a living in this town. You're sure not to make a dime on that. LAX, you guys can stand on this. It's a little bit of a deal.
What do you think? About what?
San Diego. Better opportunity in San Diego or what?
I really wouldn't know. I don't live there. I just went down there for a funeral.
Somebody close?
Gene looks at the cab's clock that reads 12:22.
Excuse me?
Somebody close to you?
Yeah. Yes. It's my wife. Well, ex-wife. Soon to be ex. She wanted a divorce. Listen. I've got a problem. I've got a really big problem.
Oh, yeah?
Hey! The gray van swipes the side of the cab.
Maniac! What the hell are you doing?
Sorry about that.
Gene looks out the window and sees the man with the mustache driving the van. The man points to his eye, then to Gene. The cab pulls up to the hotel.
Well, I'd like to hear about your problem when the ride's over. That'd be $350.
I hope your problem's got nothing to do with my $350.
No.
Gene searches his pockets and turns around to see the man with the mustache standing outside the cab. Gene takes out a business card and pen. On the back of the card, he writes the word help, then continues to write as the man with the mustache checks his watch. Signals for the woman to drive the van away.
Will you run the check?
His note reads, help, my little girl kidnapped, gray van. He hands him the card with a $5 bill.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gene gets out of the cab and a doorman approaches it.
I got you, sir.
I got one for the airport. You free?
You betcha.
The driver looks at the front of the card, which reads, Gene Watson, certified public accountant.
Public accountant? What the hell I need with an accountant?
He crumples the card as another man gets in.
Hello?
Gene watches as the cab driver pulls away and throws the crumpled card out the window toward a trash barrel. The man with the mustache motions for him to go into the hotel. Gene walks into the hotel. There are fountains and glass elevators in the lobby. The clock reads 12:26. A camcorder viewfinder shows Gene in the lobby of the hotel. He opens the envelope and starts to pull out the photo.
Ben!
He looks up toward the shouting. A huge banner is unrolled from a balcony above the lobby. The banner has a picture of a woman and reads, "We elect Eleanor S. Grant, governor, here today." Gene looks at the photo in his hand, and it's the same woman. Across the lobby, the mustached man urges him on. He takes a paper from the envelope. It's the governor's itinerary. Gene looks at his watch. It reads 12:26. He approaches a man in a hotel uniform who's sweeping the floor.
Excuse me. Can you tell me where the Emerald Bay room is?
53rd floor, yellow stairwell. Follow these lights.
Thank you.
He walks past the man with a mustache, and the hotel clock reads 12:27. Gene climbs a set of stairs, and the man with the mustache follows him. At the top of the stairs is a poster with a picture of the governor and a man. The poster reads, "Governor Grant and husband Brendan."
The governor and I have an enormous admiration for people like you.
Sorry. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Sure. Nice body check. Anyway, it's illuminating. It's inspiring.
Gene bumped into Brendan. When Brendan walks away, Gene checks his watch again. He enters a meeting room that's being cleared.
Excuse me, ma'am. Is the thing over?
You didn't miss anything. The food, soggy pancakes.
Guess the governor's gone.
Nice speech. You know, it's the same in all these things.
The woman leaves as the man with the mustache enters.
Okay, just check that itinerary and move along. It's right here.
He points to the itinerary.
But that says invitation only.
See, your big donor, the campaign. Of course you're invited. I love you. That gets you in anywhere.
He puts the ID badge on Gene that reads, "Grant for the People."
Who are you?
I'm the guy gonna kill your daughter if you don't get moving.
The clock reads 12:28.
Nobody heard a word I said. The mic was too low on the podium. How much did we pay for that room?
We didn't.
Gene watches the governor walk by.
Well, somebody did. Make sure you have known if we check the hiatuses.
The governor looks at Gene and smiles as she passes. Gene looks over his shoulder. The mustached man is gone. A woman motions for a man to aim his video camera at the governor as she gets into an elevator. Gene runs to the elevator and sticks his arm in as the doors close.
Excuse me, sir. This elevator's for the governor. You can take the next one.
No, no, no. Don't you dare, Franco. This is one of our biggest contributors. Look at the name tag. Come on in. It's okay.
The man with the mustache watches as Gene gets on the elevator.
Hi, Eleanor Grant, gubernatorial incumbent. It's a mouthful, isn't it? I love saying it.
The man with the mustache runs up the stairs.
Whose idea was it to schedule lunch right after brunch?
We'll just walk through, we'll do a little grip and grin, and we'll get ready for the present.
Governor?
Yes.
I need your help.
What can I do for you, Mr. Watson?
It's about my daughter.
Yeah.
My daughter.
You got room enough for one more?
Well, I think we can accommodate one more.
Pleasure.
Oh, thank you very much.
The man with the mustache enters the elevator.
You were saying? Your daughter. Yes?
Well, she just wanted me to be sure that I got your autograph.
Oh, of course. I wish everything were that easy.
I've got the pen, if you've got the paper. How about that? Is that something precious?
The governor's assistant points to Gene's envelope.
No.
He hands the envelope to the governor. The man with the mustache looks at his watch and then at Gene.
Her name?
Sweat forms on Gene's upper lip, and he feels the gun in his pocket.
You know, it's funny. I don't even keep a pad of paper with me anymore.
governor looks at Jean.
Are you all right? I know, elevators make me crazy, too.
She hands him the envelope.
Here. Good luck. All right, here we go, guys. Let's go.
The governor and her staff step off the elevator.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Jean and the man with the mustache stay on the elevator.
Right in front of you! What is wrong with you?
He punches Jean in the stomach.
Are you messing with me? Yeah.
The gun is loaded.
It's not. Give it to me.
Give me the gun!
Jean hands him the gun, and he loads it.
You don't get chances like that. Mr. Watson, that's the way life works.
Turn around.
Jean looks out the glass elevator.
Hey, look at that.
The gray van is on the street below.
You see that? Mm-hmm. I'll blow the next one.
He points the gun at Jean's head.
You hear me? All right. It's loaded. It's ready. For the hunt. So are we. Sonya hits you.
He puts the gun in Jean's pocket.
Yeah. Let's breathe deep. Let's go.
They get off the elevator.
I'm going to need a restroom. It's that way.
He points, then walks the opposite way.
Hi.
The man with the video camera tapes his wife and keeps Jean in the frame as he walks by.
Yes,
The man zooms in on Jean's troubled face, and Jean stares back at him.
You're having a rough day. At the heels, as they say. You don't see a face, you don't pay. What you need is a shoeshine. Shoeshine today.
Jean walks past a shoeshine man and into the men's room. Outside, the gray van is parked at a meter while Lynn colors in the back seat.
That's pretty good.
I've done much better ones than this.
You have, huh?
Oh, yes. I'll show you. I have much more colors at home.
Well, that's good. That's good, sweetie pie.
The woman checks her watch. It reads 12:32. In the men's room, Jean wipes his face with a paper towel and spots a payphone. He walks toward it, but the man with the mustache picks up the receiver and yanks it off the phone. Jean puts on his glasses and picks up the envelope. The man with the mustache checks the change slot on the payphone, then follows Jean out.
Shoeshine. Shoeshine today. Hey, shoeshine. Take 10. Take a break. Take a seat. Take a load off. What you need is a shoeshine. Shoeshine today. Come on. Take 10. Take a break. Take a load off. Put the world in perspective.
Jean sits in the chair.
So, are you a visitor?
No, I'm just visiting.
Oh, yeah? What do you do, if I may be so bold?
I'm sorry, what?
What do you do?
I'm an accountant.
Well, don't denigrate yourself, my friend. Where would the government be without accounting? They wouldn't know how hard they could squeeze us until we popped. Isn't that right? Now, you take tips. A tip was between a man and his customer. Not anymore. They figured out what they call a formula. They take your sales, see, and slap a percentile on there, figuring that somewhere between your lies and your bad luck, they'll hit on the mean amount. Mean meaning in the middle. But if you ask me, it means just plain mean. Why, you can have Uncle Scrooge ring a nickel over your palm. Or Daddy Warbucks dropping pearl stick pins don't make no difference. They'll tax your behind according to that same formula.
Jean looks at his bleeding knee.
Doesn't seem quite right, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Hey, Mr. Huey. How's it going today?
Well, it's a load, my friend, but somebody's got to carry it.
Huey continues shining Jean's shoes.
Sir. I need your help.
Now, what's that? You have to speak up.
There's a little girl in a van. She's my daughter.
Well, I'm a little deaf in this ear. I mean, between that and my wooden leg, I'm all messed up. Compliments to the United States Army Artillery Corps.
Listen to me.
Huey looks up at him.
A man and a woman were at the train. They showed me a badge, and then they took her away from me. They took her because they want me to do something for them. Do you understand? She's in trouble.
I have you out of here in a few shifts.
The man with the mustache is watching Jean from a distance.
I don't have much time. I need your help.
The man with the mustache holds up the walkie-talkie so Gene can see it.
He's watching me.
Who's watching?
The man.
Well, you know, for a quality shoe, you can't beat a good wingtip. No, sir, it wears like iron. You know, you're a wise man, you know? There you go. $2 will do you.
Gene gets up and looks out the glass wall of the hotel at the gray van. He hands Huey some money.
You got anything smaller?
Keep it.
Well, this is 20.
It's fine, keep it.
Thank you.
What street is that?
That's Flower. Just go out past the bar. Takes you right out there.
Do me a favor.
The man with the mustache walks toward them.
If anything were to happen to me, remember the van. She's in the van.
He walks away, and the man with the mustache is behind him.
10 minutes. You get another chance.
Good. Then I have time to get a drink.
All right. Make it just one, Mr. Watson. Wouldn't want to lose you.
Gene walks ahead, while the man with the mustache watches Huey. Huey sits and opens a magazine. The clock at the hotel bar reads 12:36.
So, where was I? Something about the governor's new regime.
Oh, yeah. She is dumping the good old boys faster than yesterday's newspapers.
No wonder they're howling.
They had no idea that she was going to turn into this flaming liberal.
Yeah, they're mad.
She's turned the governor's office into the United Nations. You don't think they're going to make her pay? Come on.
Hey, miss, with this bunch, they can blow your face to kingdom come.
Gene walks past the bar and looks around.
That's right. You know what? The only people not on her staff are those ones still lost in the rainforest. I'm serious. Who are these people? They don't represent you or me.
Gene steps outside the hotel, sees the van across the street, and runs toward it. Crouches alongside the van with the gun drawn, then opens the side door. Lynn is asleep and the woman is behind her.
I'll wake the baby up.
He points the gun at her face.
What we have here is what they call a Mexican standoff. Now, the thing you've got to ask yourself is, what's behind the seat?
Something bulges through the seat near Lynn's head.
Now, a .22 go right through it, but even a button will throw a .22 off, so there is a good chance that it could get screwed up somewhere along the way and miss the target. What about a .38? Well, a .38 will drill pretty straight unless, of course, it hits metal. Then it's going to bust up into little bitty pieces. It'll keep going, but it's going to get slowed down quite a bit. How's about a .357? Well, that'll go through the seat, her, the dashboard. It'll end up in some pedestrian 3 blocks away. What do you think? Huh? What is my poison?
Gene puts the gun down.
Well, it's a comfort to know you got the courage to pull that thing out. Whether or not you got the brains to pull the trigger, we still gotta see. Close the door. It's hot outside.
He closes the door, then leans against the van for a moment and heads back to the hotel.
He's coming back in.
I got him. And the cross has.
Gene takes out the itinerary.
Surgery schedule at the Paris
University. Excuse me. Pool deck. Where's the pool deck?
Fourth floor.
Take that escalator.
Gene walks outside where a crowd is gathering. Signs that read Governor Grant are posted all around. by security. Gene is in the line.
Positions in the station. Good view of the shore. See if we can pass the rescue. Just keep your eyes open. Have a safe day.
Gene watches some uniformed officers being deployed by a security chief as security staff wave electronic wands along the bodies of the people standing in line.
Sir, do you have that one there?
Just my key.
Yeah, see them?
Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the security staff calls to Gene.
Hey, sir, I can take you down here. You don't have to wait. I can take you up here. Come on.
Gene looks at him.
Sir? Yes, you. I can take you down here. Come on down.
Gene steps toward him.
Come on.
Gene feels for the gun in his pocket. He spreads his arms, and the man moves the wand along the length of Gene's body. He waves it over the pocket containing the gun. The man turns the wand off.
Okay, you're all done. We move on now.
Gene looks at the man for a moment, then walks away.
Here.
Yes, sir, they're all in place.
Recipe, check that entryway over here.
Gene walks toward the security chief, but the man with a mustache intercepts him.
Set him off.
Officer,
I know what you're thinking. You're like a worm on a hook, wiggling around, thinking you might get off.
What would you do?
Should be dead. You do what you're supposed to do, young man. You do it now.
Gene grabs the walkie-talkie from him and throws it.
Whoa! What are you doing?
Gene walks to the security chief.
Officer?
Yeah.
There's a plot to kill the governor. Now, if you don't believe me, you can check that man right there. He has a gun.
He points to the man with the mustache.
So do you, Mr. Watson.
Gene stares as the man walks to the man with the mustache.
You got this under control, Smitty?
Yeah.
Sure doesn't look like it.
Well, it's under control.
Yeah, well, it better be. Because I'm running out of these.
He puts a walkie-talkie on a table. Smitty, the man with the mustache, picks it up, then walks to Gene.
I ought to throw you after that walkie-talkie, but I'm going to give you a break because you're amateur.
A waiter offers hors d'oeuvres.
Gentlemen?
Yeah, thanks.
No, thank you.
Have a crack of Mr. Watson.
Thank you.
You got spunk. There was this guy. Big guy, Irish-Italian. Red face, black hair, jolly son of a bitch.
Gene turns away.
Wait a second. Nobody could make me laugh like him. He made a science of collecting jokes. Close my bars together than I could count. And he was a pal. I loved a crazy Mick. I'm not ashamed to say that, but
he was a mess up.
He had his image of himself. McDonald was a con man. Always trying to shave the edge. With nickel and dime. I'll always miss him. Tell me why.
Tell you why what?
Tell me why I miss him.
He's dead?
That's right. He is dead, but tell me why.
How do I know?
Tell me why he's dead.
Because you killed him.
That's right, I did. I killed him.
He messed up one too many times, so I put a bullet in his eye.
Then I put two more into him just to make sure. Now, that was somebody I loved. I loved him. But I got the call. I put him down like a sick animal. So, if you got doubts about what's going to happen,
If you don't deliver, let me tell you something. I'm a gravy out of your little girl.
Just to season that black Irish con artist meat.
You do what you're supposed to do, young man.
He slaps Gene gently on the cheek.
You do it now.
Gene walks away. The governor waves as she and her staff arrive on the pool deck. Gene walks through the crowd with his hand on the gun in his pocket. Mayor Tom Bradley stands at the podium. Smitty looks through the crowd. The governor waits near the stage platform. Gene stands next to the governor's assistant and takes the gun out of his pocket. The assistant smiles at him.
Hi.
Hi.
He puts the gun back in his pocket.
Are you feeling better? The elevator, you weren't feeling well. Are you better now?
Oh, yeah.
Better?
Yeah, much better, thanks.
I give you now, my friend and yours, Governor Eleanor Grant.
You know something? My wife always said that I had a problem trusting people.
The governor takes the podium.
Thank you, Tom, for that lovely introduction. Well, you can trust Eleanor Samuel Grant.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming together today for
I'm going to trust you.
He points the gun in her side.
Violence.
You're going to trust me.
I don't understand.
Listen, I don't want to hurt you, but my little girl needs your help. She's going to die if you don't help
her. So. Okay, I'll help you. Let me just get Mr. White. He's our head of security.
No, sure. Everything's fine. Just take a walk with me. Just you and me.
I'm sure he...
Get right there.
The assistant looks at Mr. White, the security chief. Gene leads her away from the crowd as Smitty and White look around.
As it is, this is not the life I want for our children, for myself, and for you.
I'm going to put the gun back in my pocket now. But don't make a move because it's still pointed at you, all right? Just pretend that nothing's happening. My daughter's been kidnapped. Say they're going to kill her if I don't kill the governor. I don't want to do that. But
All right. Let's talk to security.
No, can't talk to security. They're involved.
I don't see how they could be involved. They're the best. They're handpicked.
Well, how do I get in here with this?
He holds up the gun in his suit pocket.
I don't know.
Listen to me. If you don't help me, the governor will be dead. I promise you. Please, you gotta trust me.
It's a little hard to trust you under the circumstances.
All right, then. Here. You trust me now?
He puts the gun in her hand.
I guess I'll have to.
Good.
Respected and loved. Okay. There's one person that we can go to. Come on.
Can't go anywhere. The guy that's following has got eyes in the back of his head. If he sees I'm not here, my daughter's dead.
Well, he'll think you're in the crowd until the end of the speech. Okay, wait a minute, wait.
My only to see today.
Oh, we got about 10 minutes.
10 minutes, you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I've heard this speech a lot. Now, come on, we'll take care of him.
No, wait, I can't.
Hey,
I gotta...
Hey, trust me. You asked me for my help. Let me help. Come on.
Listen, put that thing away, would you?
Oh, yeah.
She puts the gun in her pocket and leads him away.
And prove the communities do belong to the people.
Smitty looks across the crowd at White and mouths the words, "Where'd he go?" White shakes his head. Gene follows the assistant down some steps.
And change a perverted system that lets us carry guns to school but forbids us to pray.
Smitty looks at the man with the video camera, who points toward the hotel elevator. Smitty looks at the rising elevator and sees Gene inside. He motions for White to look in that direction. Then, Smitty and White start to move through the crowd. Gene and the governor's assistant step off the elevator.
Ms. Brooks?
Is he in?
Yes, ma'am.
They walk past a guard and toward a room.
You sure we can trust these people?
Yeah, I'm sure. It's her husband. He's a campaign manager.
Brendan answers the door.
What is it? Is there a problem?
Brendan, we need to see you.
Aren't you supposed to be downstairs covering the conference?
We gotta hurry.
Yeah, I know. Brendan, listen to me. Someone is trying to kill Eleanor.
What are you talking about?
We need people that we can trust. We've only got a few minutes.
Well, that's absurd. How do you know that?
I know it because I'm supposed to kill her.
You are. You're supposed to kill my wife.
That's right.
And you brought this man to our suite?
I had to, Brendan.
A man with glasses walks out of the bathroom.
Her security people may be involved.
Is there a problem, Brendan?
Oh, I think you could say that. This man says he's been hired to kill Eleanor.
No, not hired. Blackmailed. They're blackmailed.
Who is this they?
I really don't know, sir. Mr. Graham, we've got to hurry. They've kidnapped my little girl. Your wife's in serious danger here. I mean, anything
just
could happen at this point.
On the strength of this story, you bring this man to Mr. Grant's suite? You think that shows a very good judgment, Ms. Brooks. I may be just a friend of Brendan, but it certainly...
He brought a gun onto the pool deck.
What?
He got onto the pool deck carrying a gun. Now, how did he get past her security with this gun?
I'd like to know that.
She takes the gun out of her pocket.
Is it real? I mean, do we know anything about it?
It's real. I don't know anything about guns.
May I see it, please?
The gun is real.
The man with the glasses takes it.
It certainly looks real.
He looks toward a corner of the room.
When we have your opinion.
Smitty steps forward.
You're supposed to be the expert in these matters.
Smitty takes the gun, picks up a pillow, and walks to Gene. Then turns to Miss Brooks. He holds the pillow up to her belly and shoots her through the pillow.
Yeah, this thing's real.
What are you doing?
Get her out of here.
What's the matter?
What have you done to me?
Smitty and White start to move Miss Brooks' body. But Gene grabs Smitty, then Smitty grabs him by the throat. Gene grabs the gun from Smitty's waistband and fires it into him. Smitty falls to the floor.
I can get away.
White shoots at Gene, and Gene fires back. White falls. Gene opens the door, and the guard draws his gun. But Gene shoots him. The guard falls backward onto a table. Gene runs down the hall, but Smitty is there. Smitty has blood on his face. He grabs Gene by the jacket and pulls him down the hall.
No.
Smitty throws him over the balcony. In slow motion, Gene sails toward a pool of water in the lobby. He passes the huge banner of the governor. As he falls down, Smitty's partner has Lynn going up the glass elevator. His head hits the floor, and he's in Brendan's hotel room.
You nearly killed him, idiot.
Nearly doesn't count.
Well, this is a nightmare. This was supposed to be clean and simple, remember? A high-powered rifle and it's over. But no, you gotta get creative. Drag some jerk off the street, stick a gun in his hand, and what? I mean, what the hell were you thinking?
Relax, will you? It's academic now.
What were you thinking? Lock her in a closet? Been seen all over the hotel, looking like some Looney Tunes. Got him on video.
It'll work. Don't worry about it.
Come on, you. Let's go.
Smitty picks up Gene and they walk away.
I don't
don't think we should go through with this.
Well, I'm afraid it's too late for that now.
How do I explain a dead woman on my bathroom floor?
Hey, she's Ellen's sister. She would have been shot by the same gun, by the same man. Some anonymous loser went over there.
Smitty points to Miss Brooks' body.
Okay, look at her. That's what it looks like. She was alive a minute ago, now she's dead because you wouldn't do what I told you to do.
Here, clean up. Come on, let's get going. We only got a few minutes to pull this together.
Look at that. Let's go.
The man with the glasses is still with Brendan.
Every single promise made to us when we got that woman elected has been broken. I don't have to remind you who was supposed to keep her alive.
I know.
White leaves the room and approaches the security guard.
Hey, Albert. Let me use your phone for a second.
Gene and Smitty walk by.
I know how this thing's supposed to work.
Hey, Mr. Watson.
I kill her, and you kill me.
The boy's down.
Even if you don't, her security man will. How am I supposed to get away?
That's not my problem.
Come back. How do I know you're not going to kill my kid once I'm gone?
It's nothing real.
Huh?
Come back.
I told you, it should be all right. You do your job.
But I'm supposed to trust you.
What choice do you have? After you.
They get on the elevator.
Gene, look out there.
You see the van?
Gene looks out the glass elevator.
Yeah. Come back.
Yep.
Do it.
Daddy! Mommy! Daddy!
Gene grabs Smitty. Smitty knees him in the groin, and Gene falls to the floor. The elevator opens, and a couple starts to get on.
Security force, take the next car. Thank you.
The doors close, and Smitty talks into the walkie-talkie.
Do it again.
Daddy, no!
Got one last chance. Half an hour. The kid is dead. I'm killing myself.
My bad off right in front of you. Get up. Come on.
Smitty pulls him up by the ear. The hotel clock reads 1 o'clock as they get off the elevator.
Daddy, did you hear me scream? She told me to scream as loud as I could. Did you hear me?
With a bloody nose, Gene glares at Smitty, then stumbles away, holding his groin, and runs into the men's room. He vomits into one of the sinks as a man walks out of a stall.
Oh, my God.
The man leaves. Smitty talks into the walkie-talkie.
Next time I tell you to do something, you damn well do it.
Hey, forget you.
You want to babysit a screaming kid in traffic? You come out here and do it. He got the message, didn't he?
What you need is a shoe shine today. Hey, take a chance. Take a break. Take a seat. Take a load off. Put the world in perspective.
Gene sits in one of Huey's chairs.
So, what do you do if I make me so?
Huey looks at Gene's shoes, then looks up at him.
You got a complaint?
Remember me?
Yeah, big tip.
Good. Listen, something's gonna happen. When it's over with, you'll know what I was talking about.
What? The end of the world? Look, man, don't give me a crazy rap. I'm not a bartender. I don't want to hear it. I raise a family doing this. Do me a favor. Get your skinny behind out my chair. Big Tip doesn't give you the right to crap in my ear. You want change and you got it, brother. What was that you give me, a 20?
Smitty walks up.
Let's get some privacy.
He's deaf.
Huey stops for a moment, then continues to work on Gene's shoes.
You wouldn't be kidding me.
Oh, no, he can't hear a thing. Look, read that sign.
The sign reads, Huey's Polished Act, Disabled American Veteran.
Is that right? Shine Man, you can't hear me?
Smitty taps him on the shoulder.
Hello.
Huey turns around.
Well, look at here. My customer quotient just got multiplied by 2. What do you think of that? Oh, you have to forgive me, sir. I didn't hear your approach. Fact of the matter is, I'm deaf as a post. You want to shine, sir? You don't see your face, you don't pay.
Yeah, sure. Give me a shine. Let's get out our itinerary. Hold up.
He sits.
Don't throw it away.
He hands the walkie-talkie to Gene and puts the gun in Gene's pocket.
I'll put your toy back in your pocket, Mr. Watson. It's all wound up. Now, let's check that itinerary.
He takes back the walkie-talkie.
Right there. 130 California Ballroom.
A clock reads 102.
That's right. That gives you 28 minutes to get together.
Let me talk to her again.
No.
I want to talk to her.
Forget it.
You let me talk to her, you can forget it.
Don't you threaten me, young man.
You're lot less trouble if you just let me talk to her.
Gene checks his watch.
You're wasting time. Come back.
Yeah?
Put her on.
What gift?
Just put her on.
She passes the walkie-talkie to Lynn.
Daddy?
Yeah, honey, it's me.
I'm tired. I want to go now.
I know you do, honey. So do I. Not just yet, baby. Daddy has to do something first.
To be a hero?
No, not be a hero, honey. I want you to remember something for me, okay?
All right.
Daddy's doing it for you. No matter what anybody tells you, he's doing it for you because he loves you, all right?
All right.
Promise me that?
I promise.
All right, kisses to you.
No, kisses to you.
Kisses to you, sweet pea.
Smitty grabs the walkie-talkie.
You done yet?
Smitty stands.
$2, if it pleases you.
It does not.
Remember when it was 2 bits.
He hands Huey money and checks his watch.
27 minutes.
Thanks for the tip.
Smitty leaves.
Mister, what are you dragging me into?
I'm not dragging you into
anything.
What?
This girl is watching, is it right?
Yeah.
Then don't let him be seeing you talking to me.
All right.
I should keep it a walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
Gene covers his mouth.
They got her in a van across the street. They say they're going to kill her if I don't do something for them.
27 minutes in California ballroom.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you supposed to do?
Kill the governor.
I knew that. I should have packed up and gone home as soon as I got that 20. What am I supposed to do about this situation?
What am I supposed to do? These people have my baby. I make one wrong move and she's dead. I don't know who to trust. Everybody's involved in this thing. I mean everybody. Except
who?
The governor. I gotta somehow do right by my little girl. I don't care what happens to me as long as she's okay.
Look, I can't keep on, can't keep playing with these shoes. It'll look funny. Look, you go on down and get yourself a drink. Make sure Godzilla there follows you.
What are you gonna do?
I don't have the faintest idea. Just go on down. I'll get word to you.
Gene hands him some money.
Stay on him. Keep the church.
He walks away.
Yeah, well, don't think I won't.
Gene looks at Smitty.
Wanna get a drink?
He walks up to the bar.
Jack and Coke, please.
Jack and Coke. Man, I thought she was going to get out the violins.
Thinking that stop the violence routine one more time, I swear to God, I'm going to shoot somebody.
Politicians.
All the same. Mm-hmm.
Gene looks at clocks that display the time in different cities around the world.
God can't help it, Mr. Wilson. 1:30. Your little girl is dead. Say it with me. At 1:30, my little girl is dead. Say it.
Oh, you can help. I'm in gravy.
How do you, little girl?
Here's your Jack and Coke.
A waitress points to a coaster that reads, Men's Room, Huey.
Because there is no such animal. You know what we are? We are a nation of 240 million special interest groups, and that is it.
I'm dead.
Sorry, we haven't paid for that.
It's on that special interest right there at the end of the bar.
Gene points to Smitty, and Smitty starts to follow, but the bartender stops him.
Sir? Sir? Don't make me call a cop.
Smitty pays him, then looks around, but Gene is gone. White approaches.
Where is he?
Did you lose him?
Shut up.
Gene walks by Huey's stand.
Offer the shoes and pants. Trade with Costino. Hurry up, come on, just relax.
What are you talking about?
Don't worry about it.
Gene walks over to Costino.
Oh, no time to be shy, ladies. Come on, do as I tell you.
Costino starts to take off his hotel uniform.
Hurry up, Godzilla's coming.
Gene and Costino trade clothes.
Come on, hurry.
Costino walks into one of the stalls as Smitty approaches the men's room. mop and bucket comes in from another entrance. Smitty enters the men's room, and the man is mopping the floor. Gustino sits on the toilet with jeans pants down around his ankles. Smitty tries to look through the space at the edge of the stall door, and Gustino moves his face out of view. Smitty bends and sees Gustino's feet. He looks at the man mopping the floor, then walks out. The man with the mop knocks on the stall.
It's all right, it's gone.
In the hotel laundry room, uniforms and linens are being cleaned and pressed. Limp. A woman is pushing a housekeeping cart.
This is Irene.
Hi.
Hello.
Irene's going to help.
Oh, thank you.
Follow me.
Where am I going?
You said there was only one person you knew wasn't in there.
Right.
I'm going to see it.
What?
They walk into a freight elevator.
Sure she's asleep.
I took some extra pillow. She'd take a nap before her big speech.
What am I going to say to her?
It'll come to you. See if you can stop this thing before we get started. Save us all considerable embarrassment.
You don't have to save me. I got nothing to do with
Irene.
It. I'm not going to give you no key.
Irene,
no,
come on.
I'm not going to do it.
Come on now, Irene.
I'm sorry.
As Irene gets off the elevator, she drops a key card.
Hi, Albert.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing? Pretty good.
Irene approaches the guard who's sitting outside the governor's room.
Better come by and clean up a little bit for you. Mine? Thank you.
Jean picks up the dropped key card.
You deserve a nice, clean place.
Thank you.
So, give me that. Yes, thank you. Oh, how's everything? Working hard, huh?
Working hard.
Oh, yes, I know how it is. So, how long are you going to work here?
Oh, about 5.
Oh, really? We'll see you later, huh?
Sure.
While Irene is with the guard, Jean crosses the hallway and stands in front of the governor's door. Huey stays on the elevator, and the doors close. Jean slowly opens the governor's door with the key card and enters the room. He takes out the gun and approaches the governor. She's lying on the bed with a towel over her eyes. Jean cocks the gun. The governor takes the towel off her eyes and stands.
I won't hurt you.
Now listen, my security people are right outside. Any loud noise and they just come right in here. You wouldn't get very far.
And if I was going to hurt you, I would have done it already.
At least that's a little comfort.
I have a problem.
I can see that.
Sorry to say, man, my problem is also your problem.
He's pointing the gun at her.
Wait a minute, I know you. You're from the elevator.
That's right.
You were very nervous.
Guns tend to make me very nervous.
Yeah, me too.
We don't have much time. I need you to listen to me carefully. 3 lives depend on you listening very carefully to what I have to say. Do you understand?
Yes, I do. I do, and I want to hear you. I mean...
Okay.
Maybe just let me call my assistant. Her name is Krista Brooks, and she's in charge of...
She's dead.
Dead? How do you know that?
I saw her die.
Did you kill her?
No.
Well, who did?
A very dangerous man. That works for your husband. Your husband works for someone else, and they want you killed.
Smitty looks up to a balcony where White is standing. Then he walks into the men's room. A man with a goatee is at a urinal. Smitty looks under Gustino's stall, and the man looks at him. The man steps to a sink, and Smitty knocks on the stall. The man with the goatee is watching him. As Smitty leaves the restroom, he winks and points at the man with the goatee. The man with the goatee runs to the stall.
He's gone.
Gustino passes a uniform vest over the stall.
Thanks, man. Hey. Hey, man. What takes you so long, isn't it? You should try eating more fiber.
Shut up, Hector, man, okay? I'm scared.
All right, bro. Sorry, I'll catch you later, all right?
All right, man.
Hector puts on the vest and leaves.
I said I would listen. I didn't say I would necessarily believe. I mean, you're trying to tell me that my people are in some kind of plot against me, that my husband is trying to kill me. What do you expect?
I know. I don't blame you. I don't have any proof. But there is one way to find out for sure. Try to cancel the last speech.
I wish you wouldn't refer to it as my last speech.
It's the last chance that I have to kill you. Try to get out of it.
Oh.
They won't let you. They can't. Try to change the schedule. You'll know I'm right. Governor, don't make that speech. Trust me.
No, I love it when pistoleros talk about trust.
Ma'am, I have never in my life fired one of these things before, but I will if I have to.
Indeed.
A clock in the room reads 1:21.
9 minutes, Governor.
The governor throws a lamp toward Jean.
Franco!
Jean runs out another door when Franco enters.
What is it, Governor? What's wrong?
I had a really bad dream. I had a really bad dream.
Jean meets Huey back in the laundry room.
Well?
I don't know.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I got to get back.
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
I'm going to do whatever I have to.
Jean walks away. The clock at the bar reads 1:23.
Oh, man, we got to go.
Oh, let's go. Come on, hurry, come on.
Two men leave the bar. White walks up to Smitty.
Where is he?
He's in the toilet.
It's time. It's time now.
We're going to relax. I told you I got it under control.
The van clock reads 1:24. The woman in the van looks at her watch, picks up a gun, and puts it in her waistband.
Where are we going?
Not very far, honey pie. Not very far at all.
Smitty and White burst into the men's room.
Watson, time's up. Let's go.
Jean walks out of the stall.
Now you forgot.
What?
Gustino is crouched in the stall.
Wash your hands.
Jean walks to a sink.
Why are you doing this to me?
I saw you with your kid. I knew you'd do anything for her.
The door to Gustino's stall starts to swing open. White watches the stall door.
I got faith in you, Mr. Watson. You're not just a regular guy, see? I know that. You don't know yourself.
In the mirror, Jean can see the stall door opening. White keeps looking toward the stall.
Hey, man, that's fine.
Smitty straightens Jean's tie. Gene nods and sees the stall opening wider.
I know what I have to do. I'll do it. Let's do it.
He walks away, and Smitty and White follow him. After they leave, Gustino leans against the wall and wipes his brow. A hotel clock reads 1:25. Brendan and the man with glasses enter the governor's room.
Hey, Al, you ready to head downstairs?
Good afternoon, Eleanor.
I've got a killer headache and siesta hair. I'm thinking of canceling the speech.
Well, it's an important speech.
I'd say critical. Of course, it's no business of mine.
Just another speech in a tower of Babel so high, even Nimrod would be put to shame. Cancel and make my apologies.
Why don't you excuse us?
Hey, yes, I'm trying to learn. Nice to see you, Alderman.
Franco and the man with glasses leave.
How do you during a campaign, every speech is important. I mean, this is free primetime news coverage. We couldn't buy.
What's he doing here?
Who, him?
Yes, him.
I asked him here. I needed his input on several issues.
Things have changed, Brandon. I thought you understood.
Oh, God, Ellen.
Don't start with that. I understand things have changed better than you do. I'm the one downstairs dealing with the repercussions. I'm the one taking the heat for all the broken promises you've made to people like him. People who helped get you elected, by the way.
Don't remind me.
He kneels in front of her.
Listen to me. This speech, or a half dozen rubber chicken fundraisers, what do you say?
The truth. Well, the truth is, I've got this lower intestinal habit, Brandon. I feel sick. I want to cancel the speech.
He gets up and sits beside her.
This isn't like you. You're a trooper. All right, I'm gonna get some Pepto.
He stands.
You go downstairs and make one of your patented tributes to the common person, and we're back to Sacramento. We can't afford to lay down on the job now. I don't care what the polls say. You want to blow off the Sacramento speech, that's fine. But do this one. Let's get out of the smog.
Okay. I'll do it.
She gets up and walks toward Brandon, and he takes her by the arm.
That's my girl.
He kisses her. She walks to a mirror and brushes her hair.
I want to make some last-minute changes in that speech. Would you send Krista in right away, please?
Oh, geez. I sent her on an errand.
The governor stops brushing her hair and looks at him.
You sent my assistant on an errand?
Yeah.
Gray van pulls up alongside the hotel. The woman in the van looks back at Lynn.
Why do you keep looking at me?
It's my job. I'm a babysitter.
I'm not a baby.
Oh, you're a big girl, huh?
I'm not a big girl, but I'm not a baby.
A clock in the hotel reads 1:27 as Huey returns to the shoeshine shop. As he opens the doors, he notices the gray van parked outside. He says a few words to both of them, then turns to the audience. Gene and Smitty are descending a set of stairs.
Ladies and gentlemen, members of the press, campaign volunteers, and those of you who were looking for any excuse to take off from work this afternoon, let me be the first to welcome you to this afternoon's campaign banquet.
Security man waves Gene and Smitty through without checking them, then sets his scanning wand down and follows them. A clock reads 1:28 as they enter the room where Brendan is speaking. Smitty walks away, and the man with the video camera focuses on Gene.
Seriously,
She is a woman who loves our great state.
The man with glasses is watching the speech from a hotel room. Smitty enters a dark room and slides open a window to see the speech.
I know you recognize her as a charitable and enlightened leader. She actually united Republicans and Democrats in the Assembly to pass new laws to improve the lives of all Californians.
Gene is standing near the camera crew.
Charlie. Yo, Charlie?
The cameraman has a walkie-talkie.
Charlie, you reading me? Charlie, you reading me?
I can't diddly in the stupid radio.
Say, hey, Terry,
who will?
The walkie-talkies don't work from here. Too much concrete stuff.
The greatest governor California has ever seen.
Gene looks up at Smitty, who's still watching from the window at the back of the room.
I am honored to present to you our esteemed governor and my beloved wife, Eleanor Samara Grant.
Double doors swing open, and no one is there. Then the governor appears and glances around with a nervous smile as she makes her way to the stage. Smitty turns the cylinder of his gun. The man in glasses leans closer to the television. Gene takes the gun out of his pocket. Balloons are released from the ceiling and fall all around the governor. Smitty takes aim. The security man takes out a gun. Gustino pushes a bus cart through the crowd. White takes out a gun. The governor is shaking hands as she continues to the stage. Gene walks closer to her. Smitty holds his aim and watches from the window. Gene aims at the governor, then turns and shoots at Smitty. The glass window shatters. Gene hits a chandelier. Smitty shoots a man standing next to the governor. Her bodyguard Franco is hit as he pushes the governor to the floor. Brendan walks toward her. The man in glasses looks away from the television and frowns. A man tries to take the gun from Gene, but Gene fights him off. The security man shoots at him, then tries to run toward him, but he trips and falls. Gene races out of the room. White follows him with his gun drawn. He shoots and hits a bus cart. Gustino pushes a full bus cart at White and he falls against some electrical boxes. Sparks fly around him. The governor is still on the floor and Brendan turns her over.
I did it.
Her face has blood on it and he pushes her hair back.
A bleeding heart makes a very big target, Governor.
She opens her eyes and Brendan pulls his hand away. Walks away. The governor tries to take Franco's arm from around her.
Oh my God! Are you all right?
You better. They put sleeves on these damn bulletproof vests.
Brendan covers his face with his hands. A hotel clock reads 1:30, and the van clock shows 1:30. The woman picks up the walkie-talkie.
It's time. You read me? I don't hear you. I'm going to go ahead now.
She puts a silencer on her gun, and Lynn looks up from the back seat. Jean watches from a balcony as Smitty runs down a set of stairs. Jean jumps over the railing and onto a landing. He jumps again and lands on Smitty. They tumble down the stairs. Jean's watch falls off. He punches Smitty and throws his walkie-talkie over the railing and into a pool of water. Smitty slams Jean against the wall, then holds him over the railing and drops him into the pool below. In the van, the woman turns to Lynn.
Close your eyes.
Why?
I have something for you.
Surprise?
You asked too many questions. Close your eyes.
Lynn closes her eyes. The woman starts to aim the gun when Huey knocks on the window.
Afternoon, madam. Hello there, little girl.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm just giving you the gift of a clean windshield.
No, I don't want my windshield clean, so just get out of here.
Oh, you just think you don't want your windshield clean.
No, I know that I don't want my windshield clean, so get out of here.
Oh, come on, don't be like that. Just think of me as the Moses of dirty windshields leading you through the desert of dead bugs.
This is the last time. I'm telling you, I don't want my windshield clean, so get the hell out of here.
I've already done it. You have to pay me now.
I ain't paying you nothing.
Oh, come, you gonna deny me a lousy dollar I've sweated like a pig giving you the gift of a clean windshield?
That's right!
I don't think so!
He grabs the walkie-talkie.
I think it's worth a dollar.
She opens the door and Huey slams against the side of a bus.
Your ass.
She shoots his leg. As Huey falls, his artificial leg breaks off. The woman gets out of the van and grabs the walkie-talkie. Huey grabs her arm. The gun goes off over Huey's head. Lynn opens the door to the van and Smitty is standing there.
Daddy blew it.
Lynn jumps over the seat into the back of the van and Smitty shoots but hits the window. He climbs in and aims as Lynn crawls under a seat. He falls back and Jean is standing behind him with a gun. Smitty looks at him.
Very good. Mr. Watson, I told him I could make a killer of you.
Jean shoots him again, and Smitty falls face down. Lynn gets out of the van. She runs to Jean, and he holds her tightly. On the other side of the van, the woman hits Huey in the face with a gun through a hole in the van window. The woman aims the gun at Jean and Lynn. Huey hits her in the back of the knees with his artificial leg. She falls, and Huey hits her in the face with it. She collapses, and Huey kisses the shoe on the artificial leg.
Nothing like a good wing, Jim.
You're okay. You're okay.
You sure? I'm okay.
Baby.
I'm standing in the Bonaventure lobby with this breaking news story. Just minutes ago, shots were fired at Governor Grant. The police are just beginning to arrive on the scene. The details of the attempted assassination continue to pour in. This is going to prove to be one of the most bizarre stories of the year. Our sources are now pinpointing a conspiracy which could point as high as Brendan Grant, Governor Grant's husband. This is a bizarre case, and we will give over to you any details, late-breaking events, as we get them. Stephen Schuster, JBN.
What time is it? I don't know. I lost my watch.
The governor walks toward Jean, Lynn, and Huey.
Oh, boy.
I wanted to thank you, Mr. Jean.
Yeah, Jean.
And to apologize.
For what?
For not believing you.
Oh, well, no. I understand. Governor, this is Huey. One for Huey, I think you...
Thank you, Huey. I appreciate it.
Nice to meet you, Governor. I'm just glad I could help.
Thank you.
Lynn, that's the governor right there.
Hi. Hi. You have a very brave father.
I'm a hero.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Dad's like that.
Good luck.
Good luck to you.
If you need anything, don't hesitate to call me.
Thank you, Governor.
Bye-bye.
She walks away.
It's been a strange day. I don't know how I could possibly thank you for saving my little girl and all.
Nothing. I'm just glad I was there for you. Glad I could help.
Well, thanks for the shine.
Thanks for the two tips.
They shake hands.
Come on, honey. I'll make that phone call now.
Hey, kisses to you.
Do you? Huey rubs her head, then Lynn rubs his head.
There you go. Give him a smooch. All right. Take care of yourself, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Gene carries Lynn away. Glasses steps on Gene's watch as he walks out of the hotel. He tips a doorman, then looks back at the hotel and gets into the back seat of a car. He's driven away. Narrative script written by Beth Sharp for the Emmy Award-winning Narrative Television Network. This is Kevin Byer with special thanks to the U.S. Department of Education.